I apologize for my allergies this morning. There's more pollen on my car than there was black paint, I think. Our sermon this morning is going to come, we're going to talk about the ascension, being bivocational. It makes it a little bit difficult sometimes to make all the services. And so because we couldn't offer the ascension this year, I wanted to talk about it this morning because this is the Sunday within the octave of the ascension. And so I'm going from the book of Acts this morning, the first chapter, and it says these words, "And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on him, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven.'" The word of the Lord. So I wanted to start with just a few different things that we can consider this morning with regard to the ascension. And I wanted to start, first of all, with the miracle itself. So often people focus on the miracles. Certainly, if we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, how does it he becomes the most significant person in the whole world? If you were to go to a baseball stadium and stand on the diamond, and it was full of thousands of people, and you were going to preach, but you didn't have amplification, because certainly they didn't have it in Jesus' day, how many people do you think would have heard you speaking? Probably not many. And so when Jesus was speaking, it wasn't just his words, and I'm sure his words were shared and passed around, but a lot of people couldn't hear what he's even saying. It was the miracles he was performing that brought people to him, mainly because in our sinful nature, we can get something out of it. I can get, you know, maybe some food. He made the fishes and the loaves. I can get some healing. Maybe somebody that I love can come back from the dead, these types of things. And so there's something in it for me, and it draws large crowds. Now, of course, Jesus transforms their heart as he comes into contact with them. And so we look at these miracles, but what does Jesus say about the miracles? He talks about the miracles in a way to make them much smaller than what he's teaching and what he's doing. And what is he teaching? He's teaching us to do the will of the Father, which is to love God and each other. And he's showing us how to do that in his life. And he's saying these are far more significant than any of the miracles. And if you think about it, you know, Lazarus was raised from the dead. And we think to ourselves, my goodness, you know, that must have been an amazing thing. But Lazarus isn't with us today. He died again. And the one who had the withered hand isn't with us either, or the woman with blood. And what Jesus is saying is the overemphasis on these miracles is a mistake, because the focus is on what he was teaching us. And so the miracles bring us in, maybe, but it's the teaching that we're to hear. And so then, if we look at the miracle, now Jesus defies gravity and he floats up into the sky. That is not the primary thing that we're to consider. And actually, when we think about how crazy that may sound, that could actually happen, if you spend any time at all at even a cursory level of quantum physics, you'll see that at a quantum level, stuff like this happens in our world for real right now. But actually what he wanted to talk about, or what we should be talking about, is the true meaning of the ascension. I mean, we could focus on the miracle. We could focus on his reception into the kingdom of heaven. What do you think that must have been like? You've seen royal receptions before on television. Maybe you've been there in person. And all the pomp and circumstance and glory, and we could think to ourselves, could we imagine what it might be like when Christ now comes to the Father, to the right hand of the Father, after having suffered so much for us and having accomplished all that the Father willed for his life, and what a celebration and what pomp and circumstance and all of that. And we could bring all that to mind when we think of the ascension. But that wasn't the key idea either. The ascension was about Christ moving toward the Father, and it's about us ascending in our own lives. Last night I watched this movie, The Reluctant Convert. It was C.S. Lewis' life story on how he converted to the Christian faith. It was this beautiful story about a man who actively opposed God with a great deal of intelligence and intellect. For many, many years opposed God. Part of it was because his mother died very young, and he was very frustrated about that. So he is opposing God and using all of his logic and reason to make arguments for that until he came to the place where he realized, how can I use logic and reason to oppose God if this world is completely illogical and unreasonable? It doesn't make any sense. He said, okay, I give in. I'll become a theist and I'll call it spirit, but that's as far as I'm going. I will not go any further than that. And then he sits down one day and begins to read, and he says, okay, call him God. I'm not going any farther than that. I'll go to God, but that's it. Until one evening, he's with J.R. Tolkien. If you've ever read any of his works, another brilliant man. And they're having dinner. And they ask, and J.R. Tolkien asks C.S. Lewis, he says, hey, what do you think about Jesus Christ? And he said, well, he was a good teacher. J.R. Tolkien said, you know, there's two things you can do with Christ. You can completely dismiss him, or you can fully accept him for who he said he was. But what you can't do is be moderate. Because either he was lying about being God, and if he's lying, then we're not going to call him a great prophet and a great teacher. Right? So you either have to be on or off. And C.S. Lewis actually listened to Tolkien, and he went home the night, and he's struggling, not sleeping. He finally comes to the place where he gets on his knees reluctantly. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And the story doesn't end there. Then he goes to church. And what happens next is he begins to see God in Christ, not only in the liturgy of the Mass, but he begins to see him in the other people. And he begins to love the world and see people the way God sees them. And then he closes out the movie talking about the inexpressible joy of what he had discovered, or what he had been given as a gift from God. Now, I tell you all of that because when I was thinking of my homily this morning, you see the progression? I will not believe, Thomas, I will not believe unless I see. To okay, theist, okay, God, okay, Christ, other people. The ascension is about Christ returning to the right hand of the Father and sending forth to us on Pentecost the Holy Spirit, that we may be transformed and our hearts may ascend as Christ ascended toward the Father. And how does this happen? As St. Paul says, faith by faith, moment by moment, and step by step, as we open ourselves to God, we say, theist, God, Christ, others. And this is the key of the ascension. Christ said to the disciples, you have to understand, they were sad. Jesus is leaving them. They're brokenhearted. What are we going to do now? We've already lost them once. Now we're losing them again. Christ says, I have to go because I will prepare a place for you. And I will send the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth. And this Holy Spirit is with us this morning. And the goal of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. And what is the truth? That God is love. That he created us as an expression of his love. He created us for the purpose of love. Both to him first and to others. Hidden in that is the pearl of great joy. The true joy that every heart and soul desires in their lives, which cannot be satisfied by any other thing. And so this morning, as we watch Christ ascend, in a spiritual sense, let us hang on to his foot. Let us ascend with him, that we may begin to see God, Christ, and each other, just as God sees fit. That is the life of faith. That is the call this morning. And we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for God is truly one. Amen.